Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we're back with another Browns cast. It's been, what?
Too long?
Probably about a month.
It's been a while.
Probably about a month. At least. We took way too long to do our debrief, and now we're right back into the 2024 season. So, yay. I'm your host, Taylor Jedrzak. I am joined here with by Gerbs and Matt. Got the full crew tonight. And we're going to break down everything that's kind of gone on in the last 2 weeks. And I think we're going to close it out with stealing a bit. So we'll get to stealing the bit here in a later on. But first, we'll get into the free agency. I'll just give my take right away. I think the Browns, I want to say they treaded water, but it feels better than that because I don't think any of us thought Za'Darius Smith was going to be back. So they did a breaststroke through free agency, a well-paced breaststroke.
Did pretty much a doggy paddle. They doggy paddled their way through free agency.
Yeah. They didn't really lose anyone of marked importance, and they got everyone they wanted back. They traded for Jerry Jeudy, who's apparently someone they've wanted for a long time, which, you know, we've heard through rumors and whatnot, but it's that they finally got him. They got him for a pretty cheap price, so you know, works out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I did not think that this entire defense was going to be back. Well, most of the entire defense, they lost a couple linebackers, but you know, and yeah, I agree. Jerry Jeudy for a fifth and a sixth are pretty. It's a pretty good deal for Cleveland. I wrote about it today, winningfornextyear.com, that he did also sign a contract to yesterday, Tuesday, extension. So they have him for longer than the 2 years that was possible. They have him for a third. So who knows? I'm interested to see. We don't know what the numbers are on the Jeudy contract is. We do know the big numbers. It was 3 for 51 or 3 for 58.
Yeah, it's 3 for 58 and 41 is guaranteed.
There you go. And it's expected, I think, that's including the fifth year option that is a guaranteed number. So basically, like, they picked up the fifth year and then added two years onto it. Is the idea?
I think that's ultimately how it's going to look when it comes out.
Which is better than just signing him for 3 years, 58, because the fifth year is like only 12 million.
Yeah,
13 million,
yeah,
something like that.
I think the way it was presented probably scared a lot of people. They thought they added 3 years on top of the fifth year option, which I could understand why people would be shocked by that. But I would imagine it probably is that where it's like actually 3 years where that fifth year option is now guaranteed with 2 years attached to it. So I wouldn't be shocked by that either.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's probably going to look like, as this contract plays out, if Jerry Jeudy is able to produce even at the level he had been, which was not great, not according to expectations anyway.
Right. But I think in terms
I think
of
that's
like
the biggest thing with him.
Yeah. Like in terms of this contract, it's in line with like Gabe Davis, who in most circles would be like a wide receiver 2. And if he has a year that's similar to that where it's like 850 to 950 yards with a good amount of touchdowns, especially paired with Amari Cooper, I think you're fine with that. I think what we're also hoping is that he outperforms it, and then the contract feels like a bargain. And that's probably what the Browns are thinking, is better situation, and he takes advantage of it.
One of the anecdotes I saw today on Twitter that actually made the contract make a lot more sense, I forget if it came from Duffin or Cleef DA, but it basically boils down to the Browns are willing to gamble by giving him this contract, thinking that he will be better than he was in Denver, than him being better than he was in Denver this year, and then him being way too expensive for the Browns next offseason.
Fair.
When he's a free agent.
Because right now his value really can't get lower. You know what I mean?
No,
by terms of right now, contract.
What you paid for is not even the production. You're paying for the mystery box of what Jerry Judy could be.
The projection game. Like, that's always an interesting game to play.
Yeah.
You gave up more draft capital than the Browns gave up more draft capital to get Jerry Jeudy than they did to get Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of there being a sixth round pick attached to it. So, like, that in and of itself is nuts. But
I feel like you should look harder at the Cowboys on that one than the player.
Right. Yeah, I wrote that today, where it was the Cooper's the one, like, shining egg of the wide receiver acquisition farm that the Browns have been down. But, and again, it was more on Dallas being stupid than Cleveland being good. But,
it's strange that Dallas was like, we have to dump this salary to pay Dak.
Why would you want to pay Dak?
A lot, but, I mean, There was a stretch, about the first 10, 11 weeks of last season where Dak was top two or three MVP, and then he, like, hit a wall that, you know, he has in the past pretty consistently hit a wall after Thanksgiving. Cowboys will blow a team out on Thanksgiving, and they'll come back after the break and be the standard Cowboys that we've seen for 20 years.
Yep.
Yeah. It is what it is on that one. So questions for you guys. Who are you most excited about is back from the, obviously, when the corner cast, we do a lot of, like, without Jose Ramirez, who is your most excited player? Without Za'Darius Smith, because he's the biggest one, who is the best player you guys think of that was either re-signed or acquired by Cleveland?
Ooh, I think one that will be an underrated one will getting Ronnie McLeod back, because they were missing him sorely at one point when the safety depth was very dire. And so
they had to start D'Anthony Bell for a couple weeks.
Literally all the safeties were hurt. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think he'll be really good for, you know, depth. He probably will start, I imagine. Or if not, he'll at least play.
It'll be Delpit and Thornhill.
Yeah, so he won't start, but he'll get a solid amount of snaps. I can't imagine they're going to play his old ass on special teams. But, you know,
oh no,
Christian Slater did it for 15 years. So.
Yeah, he was a Bill Belichick He was that type of guy for Bill. So he's not, Rodney's not doing it here.
No, but I think he's going to be as much a moral and scheme guy as a help on the field. But I'm going to, you took probably the second best answer, I would say. I think I'm going to go off the wall and say I'm glad that they were able to get Corey Bojorquez back.
Yeah.
Who proved to be, like, crucial down the stretch.
when we were playing trestle ball with Flacco.
Yeah.
Quite literally, yes.
Come a long way from the beginning of last season where we were wondering if we should cut him so that Cade York could be better.
Yeah.
But
thank God we are past that.
That was That was a whole discussion we actually had. But
like people let's not derail it.
No, we're not gonna go down that rabbit hole again.
I can't show you the picture, Milner. I can't show you the picture on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that on pod. Not doing that.
For those that are unaware, Matt gets really worked up about Twitter fights, and he'll come into Discord heated, and I have a picture that I took of conversations where I said, someday, Matt, you'll learn to let the noise of the internet wash over you, or something along those lines.
Yes.
And now whenever Matt gets upset, I just post the oi, and I just drop the picture in there. That's it. So
get off Twitter.
Right.
I saw a stat earlier this week that Corey Bojorquez added 167 yards over expected this past season with his punts. Which was like third or fourth best in the league.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think we're going to have Ariza back on a roster this year, so that might not be the case anymore. But
I think he's in KC, didn't he?
Yeah, he's in KC.
He did sign with Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of Taylor Swift's best friend and someone whose arms she outdid. And what was his name? Townsend?
Oh, yeah.
And he was very good, too, which was the thing.
So, yeah, he was good. Yeah, but he was probably going to demand a decent payday because he's been good for a few years.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of the life cycle of a punter. When you get to a certain expense point, you're just like, okay, we'll go try our luck with finding someone who might be as good for cheaper.
Right.
Yeah, kick rocks, find another spot.
Don't kick rocks, though.
You're a punter. You should not kick rocks.
Punch the rocks.
You can do things. Well, not even that. You have to catch the punt. Anyway, throw rocks at the rocks. That's what you can do. You can throw rocks at the rocks.
Headbutt the rocks.
Since I get to go last, I'm going to pick a couple of them. I am interested to see what the Devin Bush year is like. To get him at a 1 year, 1.5 mil is insanely cheap for a guy. Who is pretty decent. I mean, he's been around the league a while, but it is a player that has performed in the past and could see some stepping up with Schwartz's defense. The other that I'm interested in seeing how they use is Quentin Jefferson, who I believe I'm looking at his Pro Football Reference. He's on his fifth team in 5 years now. This will be his sixth team. Seattle,
he was very good with
Seattle, Buffalo, Raiders, Seattle again. So this is his fifth team in 5 years. And then he played with the Jets last year.
He's been productive in all of his stops.
He's never had fewer than three sacks when he's played, the majority of games, and as a rotational guy on the edge, that's not a bad spot. So
you're replacing Jordan Elliott with him.
Yeah.
And Jordan Elliott is going to make $5 million a year
in San Francisco, which good for him. We didn't even think he would even make it out of camp.
Yeah. Kind of actually surprised that he got $7 million from them. But, like, that's a lot. It's a lot more than I thought he'd get.
Yeah. But, yeah, and obviously there's the Mo Hurst and Shelby Harris that are back. Those are big ones. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what Quentin Jefferson is going to do for the team. I know James Prochet was re-signed, but Nyheim Hines as the kick returner, as long as he's not around any jet skis.
With the new kickoff rules that might get passed.
Yeah,
we'll get into those if we need to.
Yeah. If we need to. I don't actually know what any of those things mean. So someone will need to explain that to me like I'm five at a later date when those actually get passed.
You know, just to go off on a mini tangent, I found out about 5 days ago that Nyheim Hines got hurt in my hometown. The jet ski on Lake Norman.
Were you at the lake?
No, I don't really go in
did
the
lake.
Did
you witness the jet ski incident?
No, I did not witness the jet ski incident. I was not involved. You do not have any cameras that put me at the scene of the crime.
So, sounds like a guy that definitely did something.
I don't think I've been on a jet ski.
Otani was robbed.
Yeah, well, Otani was a innocent bystander.
Taylor didn't loan Nyheim Hines the jet ski, and Otani was robbed of $4.5 million. These are jokes that you'll get later, everybody. They make me laugh, at least.
But yeah, that was kind of a wild thing to find out that it happened here. I had no idea.
For sure. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was, I mean, the East Palestine train thing happened like 10 minutes on the road from me. So it was, there was a point where I'm like, are we going home? Do I need to, we went to my mom's house for like a couple hours because we weren't sure what was going on. But it's always just crazy when big national stuff happens. Did we just bring
Chernobyl to Ohio?
Right.
What else did Ohio need?
Well, really, mostly PA. EP is not that far from the PA border, which is fine. Just give it all over there.
Oh yeah, wasn't there like a
way off?
Yeah,
track.
Sorry.
Way off track. We're
just like that train.
You beat me to it. Dang it. I'm so mad. So mad.
Beat him.
I beat you to your own setup joke.
Dang it. Oh. You are officially a dad. That's how that goes.
I was going to say, Jed, Yes.
Pass the test. I will say that I'm a bit sad to see Taki Taki go. I know that they had tried to work something out to get him to come back.
Did they offer him a contract?
They were talking to him, according to various sources. But I'm not sure that they were going to give him the money that he got. It's not that much money, which is kind of strange, I guess. I guess they're just kind of betting that Devin Bush can be as good in the system as Taki Taki was. And Devin Bush is more athletic.
Well, to be fair to Devin Bush, Taki Taki, I guess, to a point, it is a system that allows for the linebackers to be better. You know what I mean? Like, the defensive line is the focal point, and it frees up the linebackers to do things.
Yeah, and now you got two hyper athletes out there at linebacker.
Yeah. But yeah. So, another question for you, since I'm trying to get us back on track. The Browns signed two quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley. Which would you prefer to be the backup, the primary backup?
Ooh. I mean, you're not paying Jameis Winston that much money to not be the backup. Yeah.
If Jameis wasn't, it's four mil. That goes up to eight. That goes up to eight. So there's some expectation that he's going to at least be the backup.
I truly don't believe that, and this is no knock on Tyler Huntley. He has.
He's been to a Pro Bowl.
Gone to a Pro Bowl. But don't think, unless proven otherwise, my thought with him is that he is there to push DTR Like, hey, sure. If you don't beat him out, we're not going to keep you. And they're not going to have a camp arm for OTAs. Hmm. They're going to need two camp arms because they, I don't think DTR is going to be ready. And Deshaun's definitely not going to be ready.
I guess I hadn't thought about him being, about DTR being injured as well.
Yeah.
But I know when Watson, I'm going to do this all year. Watson started throwing this week. So he could be ready by camp.
He could be ready by camp. He's not going to be ready by OTAs.
True.
So sure. they need someone to throw footballs at OTAs that isn't Bill O'Brien. Or not Bill O'Brien.
It's not Bill O'Brien.
Mike Vrabel. One of those.
There you go.
One of those.
The consultant.
Yes, the consultant.
Who starred in The Consultant? That was a movie.
Recently. It was a movie. It's not a movie I saw.
Was that a movie?
I'm almost certain. Anyway. And the other one, Donta Foreman. That signing happened today. Do you think Nyheim Hines is more of the guy, or is it Donta Foreman, or is it going to be anyone that is there?
I think Milner had it right earlier today in the Discord. He said that Donta Foreman is taking over the Kareem Hunt role. And I definitely can see that. All of his 9 touchdowns in the last 2 seasons have come in the red zone. A lot of them are straightforward runs. So he's just going to act as Kareem Hunt and hopefully be a little bit more athletic.
Yeah, because I saw on Twitter that he's still, even at his older age, he's still a power runner. And so I thought immediately, oh, he's just going to be Kareem Hunt. That's immediately what I thought.
He weighs 235 pounds. He weighs 235 pounds. That's a lot of dude.
And he's 5'8", so that's all muscle, too.
I once watched Mike Tolbert run a football.
Wait, hold on. He's 5'8", and how much? 230?
235.
So he's 35 pounds heavier than me at the same height.
And it's all...
Yeah,
it's all in different muscle. Areas, unfortunately.
That's a bully. I don't know, man. This is... This guy right here.
It's not even that far. Like, I'm thinking of Mike Tolbert. Mike Tolbert was 5'9", 243.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like a... But get him a neck roll. Just, you know, put him in the Mike Allstott.
Kids today don't remember Mike Allstott.
They should.
Kids don't remember neck rolls. Do they even have those anymore?
No.
No, I think they were
because they injured people.
Yeah, I think they were proven to be ineffective.
That
new thing that guys are wearing around their necks is getting more and more popularity. I think Luke Kuechly was one of the first ones to wear it. Now it's getting more and more run.
Yeah, but that's more of a flap. That the neck roll, it's different. Those are totally different.
Oh, the cowboy collar.
Allstott made himself into like an arrow. Like it wasn't just even a neck roll. It was an angled like wedge.
There was nothing about Mike Tolbert that had anyone wanting to tackle him ever once in his life.
You just don't hear of NFL players being like my height. I'm short for a dude at 5'8", 5'7". So like it's just anytime I hear that, I'm like, oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because you know that they embellish like height wise. So like you get the guys that are always like, oh yeah, he's 6 foot, and you see him and he's like 5'10". Like there's no way you're 6 foot.
Yeah, I never even tried to lie that I was 6 foot. I always said I was 5'11" because I knew I was 5'11". But I think we've gotten way off track again.
Well, you know, that happens.
I can't,
it's kind of our style at this point.
We haven't brought up brain surgery yet. As far as other guys that we've lost, I mean, no. I don't think Joe Flacco is a big loss, not as big as people would like to make it seem. Yes, he was fine.
Yeah.
He did what he needed to do. He turned the ball over 12 times in 6 games.
Which, luckily, since they won, it got swept under the rug. Even
to be fair, I don't know if we can expect Jameis to be much better given his track record.
But even then, he's been very solid as a backup. So let's be fair to Jameis. Obviously, like he doesn't have that
30.
Yeah, that definitely factors into the conversation.
Still too. 9 years younger than Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I think in the grand scheme of things, you're getting the same guy. You're getting a much different locker room presence. I don't think either of them are negative in the locker room. They're both positive in their own way. Joe Flacco is kind of steadying. I think Jameis Winston is an NFL all vibes team, second team.
Yeah, he's first team all vibes. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, like. He operates strictly on vibes. But I don't think there's that much of a difference. The only thing that Joe Flacco was going to give you is touchy-feely feelings from the run this past year, which ended horribly. So
it did. And now he's in Indy backing up another injury-prone quarterback.
Yeah, he's going to see the field this year. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And it might not go as well. We don't know.
I like the idea of having Tyler Huntley, just because if there's a camp injury in Cleveland or a camp injury elsewhere, like he's still a viable-ish backup that you could get a fifth rounder for, you know, in
August. He's definitely trade bait. He can definitely be a guy that some team will be interested in if the circumstances are right.
I don't know if you'd want to do that per se.
Sure.
Unless you're getting a decent pick for him. I don't think, like, if a team's desperate enough to trade for Jameis Winston preseason.
Oh, no, I'm saying Huntley.
Oh, Huntley?
You could get a fifth or a sixth for him.
If you're trading for him, you're tanking. That's where you're at.
Well, I'm saying injury-wise.
Yeah. But like, that's why the Cardinals traded for
Dobbs.
For Dobbs, is they knew that that's where they were. If they had
Tank
their quarterback
commander
go down.
Josh Dobbs, the Pastrnak.
Yeah. It's amazing. He played out, and we pointed this out during the season. He played out the entire Fitzmagic cycle twice. In a month, 2.5 months.
In a season.
Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that whole debate was stupid too. We're not going to rehash that one. I just keep coming back to, I'm happy with what they did. I'm glad that they weren't ever going to be a team this year that took big swings, because frankly, unless they restructured the entire roster, they weren't going to have the ability to.
Right. Yeah. I like the way that they have done things. I agree with you, because they gave themselves wiggle room for the future to go in and restructure Deshaun Watson this year. Is further committing yourself to a guy that you, at this point, still do not know what you have in him. And
conversation.
Right. It makes it harder to get rid of him in a couple of years if you restructure him this year. And if you have a core that you can maintain and you have guys that you can add to the roster without having to pull that lever, then you just don't pull that lever. And that's,
I mean, I think ultimately, like, I definitely am starting to think whether or not it's right or not that, like, they're considering maybe just letting the salary ride out this year and knocking a whole bunch of it off, like paying double your student loan amount for a month and actually taking some out of the loan and not just the interest.
Hitting the principal, not just your interest.
Yeah. But I do think that ultimately
it's
before
smart,
the season
if you can
starts,
do that. I don't know that anybody's coming here for financial advice, but if you can do that.
Journalist salary doesn't really allow that.
I am a I'm a tech support at a public school system, but I trust me, not working much here either.
I work with cars. That's all I got. Definitely don't go to me for financial advice.
People who work in journalism and at schools probably shouldn't be giving financial advice.
That's fine.
I have completely lost where I was, but I think they probably will ultimately restructure toward whether it's in the next month or right in July or August.
Yeah.
Specifically to get the cap rollover.
Yes. I was going to say that. Like, do a baby restructure, make some of the base salary, the 46 mil, put it into a bonus a little bit more, and just, especially with the cap going up the way that it's going, it makes it easier to do that this year and next year. We're not, I mean, right now, I mentioned it in today's column. The numbers are going to start looking like crazy wonky, especially for quarterbacks. But I think Bill Simmons has mentioned this previously, but really you got to look at percentages for like quarterbacks and things, and less at like, wow, he's making $40 million a year. Like, everyone's going to be making $40 million a year.
Yeah.
If you look at the percentages of where he's at and what that is, that makes it a little bit more, digestible. For 2024, without touching any of his deal, he's 22% of the cap, which is a lot. But when you look at Mahomes or look at Allen, some of these other, recent deals, it's not that far off from their caps, from their numbers either.
No, I think with the next quarterback contract, which for the life of me, I have no idea who's going to get the next massive, stupid deal. He's might not even be in the top 10 anymore, which is kind of bizarre to say.
Right.
I think he's 9th or maybe 10th. Like, the next contract is going to take him out of that. Like, it's not crazy to do what the Browns are doing by guaranteeing all this money, because you're guaranteeing all this money and it gets you out of the contract kind of a little bit faster at times.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just me talking out of my ass or not, but they have the money to be able to do it. It's more attractive for players to get their money up front and to know they're going to get it to lock them up.
Right.
And the salary cap can be figured out later. I think that's kind of how they're operating.
Yeah. Also, for the record, the next big numbers probably will be Go Pack Go, Jordan Love, if he has a good year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that he's like a fourth-year rookie.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence.
The last man standing from the fabled quarterback class of that season.
I remember going to that draft since it was in Cleveland. And just thinking about that years later, it's like, wow, it's crazy how much has changed. It's Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy, and the rest are just
God bless. First and last picks.
Also, I'm making this stance today. The Purdy love is done, or the Purdy hate for me is done. I'm off.
You've turned the page.
I've turned the page. I'm still going to call him Brock the Warlock, because that's just, one, a great nickname, and two, it fits. He sold his soul to, play for Shanahan. But I'm done with the Uber hate on Brock Purdy here.
That's probably for your mental health. Probably
It is better. He got married recently, and it was adorable. It was like his high school sweetheart.
I'm like a regular dude.
Right, he looks like a guy. Yeah. He just looks like a guy.
Just a guy from Iowa or wherever he's from. Like, just hard to hate.
Right. Absolutely.
I'll be honest. I have no idea where he's from.
The Underdark.
He's from one of your D&D worlds.
That's what the Underdark. That's what the Underdark is. Thank you, sir.
I've never played.
Same. I don't understand that reference at all.
It's fine.
Closest I've gotten to D&D is Stranger Things.
Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Because when I called you chaotic evil the other day.
I resent that. I think I am chaotic neutral.
That's fine. Fair. Very few people are actually truly evil in the alignment chart. But anyway.
You almost have to work for it.
Right.
You have to go out of your way to make bad choices.
Right. And I don't think Purdy did. I think he sold his soul and just is, he's chaotic neutral. Same there. But anyway, yeah, I'm done with my Purdy hate. I'm off the path of hate. I'm here for the light and the good. And we're moving on. For the record, Deshaun Watson is currently sixth in contracts amongst quarterbacks. Mahomes and Allen will likely probably get extended at some point.
Mahomes did just get extended because he reworked his deal. I don't know if he actually got extended, but I know he reworked his deal to give
his money. Yeah, his UFA number is 2032 is when they say that he's a free agent, which he never will be.
His contract
agent.
Is like a baseball contract in terms of length. Like
they
pretty much said you're here to stay, buddy. Like that's pretty much what they did.
I wonder if that's going to be the future of quarterback contracts, or if that was an outlier. Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be more young quarterbacks that sign those kind of deals. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get that kind of deal for Lamar, or maybe even Josh Allen, who they both put their bodies on the line more than teams would probably want to give a 10-year contract to.
Mm-hmm. Total like value. Total value of deals. Even like Allen and Mahomes are over Watson now. Kyler's famously $500,000 more than Watson.
Just crazy.
But Hurts, Lamar, Herbert, Burrow, all those are newer contracts that just got signed that are better than Watson. But yeah, if Love has another good year, if Lawrence has a good year and he gets up for his extension next year. You know, those are the guys that would be moving above and trying to push him down.
Won't Brock Purdy's extension be coming up? Has he already gotten his? Because he was a seventh round pick.
If he was, I don't know. This would be next offseason would be the season he's able to be extended, I think. Because that would be the same year as Lawrence.
What do you pay him?
That's a good question. Because I remember it was sort of a similar situation when Russell Wilson had to get extended because he only had 4 years on his deal, and they were already up against that after two. So I'm curious how they'll handle that.
I wonder what the year hit for Russell Wilson would be for like just this year, like
he's getting paid over $100 million by two teams. Two teams.
Right. But like I'm trying to like think in my head of what the like Denver is paying him X amount. And obviously like he signed in Pittsburgh for super cheap. But like was there a chance that he was going to be like doubled? Or like his Denver number was going to be number 5 and he was going to be number whatever. But he signed too cheap for all that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I mean, his dead money is just insane.
Like, he must be so unlikable. I'm convinced that
the Broncos are lucky they're owned by the people who literally own fucking Walmart.
Yeah, accurate.
Like, there. I don't think there isn't a richer NFL owner. I think he is. he's twice as wealthy as David Tepper or whatever the fuck, whatever his first name is. I've blocked him out.
I think it's Dave.
Well, understandable. You're also a Panthers fan, so you probably block out most things from that team.
I think they've had a good offseason. Quickly, I think they've done okay. $153 million on guards is a lot, but
when your quarterback, you know, can barely see over
maybe
them,
maybe yeah, is maybe a bit taller than Gerbs, you might need to help him out there.
Yeah, but
doesn't weigh as much as me though. Let me tell you, I got him beat there. By golly.
I think the Russell Wilson thing is actually a good place to kind of segue into a quick topic that I wanted to cover.
Sure.
The rest of the division.
Yes.
I shared a graph in the chat yesterday of the projected like losses and gains from free agent signings for every team. The Ravens are at the extreme bottom of this list at like minus 62. I don't know exactly what the point value is. It just is an improvement index. I don't know what that factors in, but minus 62 is a lot. And
sure is.
They've lost a lot. Sure, they made the big splash in getting Derrick Henry. But you know, you're sitting here and you've lost what? Geno Stone to the Bengals, which hurts double. You lost Patrick Queen to the Steelers, which hurts double. You lost Gus Edwards. Devin Duvernay.
Clowney's not coming back, it sounds like.
Clowney is going to be elsewhere. You've lost offense. You lost an offensive lineman.
To the Jaguars? I forget where.
The Jets.
Jets. Knew it was something with a J.
You lost another offensive lineman, Zeitler. Went to the Lions. J.K. Dobbins, bless his knees, is probably never going to play in the NFL again, or at least not in a serious capacity. It seems like they're letting Tyus Bowser walk. Rock Ya-Sin is unsigned. Like, these are all big pieces of their defense from last season. OBJ is also unsigned, but eh.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just saw that he's visiting Miami, so there's that, but yeah.
Oh god, that would be the wildest receiver room.
Oh. Fair.
Send Hard Knocks back. But the Ravens, we assume they'll be fine. They're still going to have Lamar, they're still going to have some pieces. But they're in a place where they have to reload. I don't think they're going to really fall off all that much. Until they come out and win six games because they have no defensive depth, I am going to assume they're going to win 11 because that's just how it works. But they definitely have – they've gotten hit the worst in free agency of any teams in the division. The Steelers have added a lot, and they've added big splashes, but like
– are they going to be good splashes is the thing.
Yeah, you're wondering if the splashes are going to play out like if they're going to be as big as the splash. Like, sure, you signed Russell Wilson and traded for Fields.
You got that?
But like,
it could turn into a Brown style calamity, like where nobody wins. That could also be where like the front office for the Steelers is like, well, we want Russell Wilson. Well, we also want Justin Fields. Let's just bring them both together and see what happens. And it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean they're clearly playing both sides of the coin here. They brought in Russell Wilson to start. They punted their first round pick from 2 years ago for him to start. They're getting him for basically free, but
right.
They don't trust him enough to just let him be the quarterback. They also had to go out and get Justin Fields. Yes, Justin Fields was fairly low, like so the risk is not there. But
right, the risk it is in a vacuum. The Russell Wilson deal is a great move. In a vacuum, the Justin Fields trade is a great move for Pittsburgh because they don't have depth in their quarterback room. Or like long term.
They let all of their bad quarterbacks go.
Right. They didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
And now they've rebuilt with a guy who wasn't bad last year and a guy who could be the future at the position for the team. But you now have to also deal with them being in the same quarterback room for a year. And you have to hope that Russell is able to be good enough to not need to go to Fields.
And this is from a guy that has two teams paying him over $100 million to stay off their roster. And from ball accounts seems to be universally hated by his teammates, even when he was winning Super Bowls. So something just rubs, like he just rubs people the wrong way, no matter where he goes.
I don't know how he meshes in Pittsburgh. He doesn't seem like a Steelers guy. He just doesn't feel, he doesn't fit that vibe like at all.
It's just such a weird fit. You're right. Like in terms of like person and city, it don't really add up.
I won't even say non-zero because it's a lot greater than non-zero. I'm going to give it about a 22% chance that him and George Pickens just hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, he was close.
They traded away Deontay Johnson for, you know, a quarterback named DeAndre Jackson, which just sounds like a fake name that Deontay Johnson made up.
He was okay with the Panthers, but like the Panthers are the Panthers, so it's hard to judge anyone.
Right. But it's been a bizarre offseason for Pittsburgh because of all the moves that they've made. Cincinnati hasn't gotten, they've gotten better, worse. They've got to try to trade T. Higgins because no one wants to have, he doesn't want to be back on the team. And you don't really want to have to try to navigate his personality.
Yeah. The thing that I see with them is all of the moves they made this year reek of a team that is trying one last time to grasp onto something that is falling away.
Yeah.
One more Super Bowl run with that core. That's what they're trying to do.
What core? It's not even the same core that was good the last time that they were good.
No, yeah, there is no core. When the Pouncies left and Roethlisberger left, that was it.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were still talking about the Bengals, but yeah.
Oh no. I went back to the Steelers for my own selfish reasons.
Agree also with Cincy that it does feel that is a core that is running on its last legs before things, another Simmons invention, the disease of Moore, where, you know, they've already had to pay Burrow. They're going to have to pay Jamar Chase soon. Are they really willing to tie up so much money into three players with Higgins and Chase and Burrow?
They can't legitimately afford to keep all those guys unless they take massively under market pay cuts.
And Burrow already didn't.
Yeah.
Sell more advertisement that he clearly would need to find money.
Mike Brown's going to bring up the motion to allow foreign investment in the NFL at the owners' meetings next week.
The live tourney Bengals.
So guys, What are your thoughts on the Saudis? That's his pitch.
I forget where I saw it because I mentioned this somewhere, but someone responded to that. That's a similar sentence to someone needs to give the Saudis skyline.
That'll get them way out of there. There's no way they're coming to Cincy. So wait, the main food here is spaghetti with chili on it? Yeah.
This is what the Ohioans eat?
Where's the airport?
The next state over.
Right. No, they're already in Kentucky.
And while you're there, stop by the Louisville Slugger Museum.
Jesus. But yeah, the Bengals are, I mean, this has always kind of been the targeted crossroads for them.
Right.
I think I billed it earlier this offseason as we're going to find out how serious they are about this whole thing. I think they've kind of answered some of those questions. I mean, they've given big contracts to they gave a big contract to Sheldon Rankins. They gave a decent money to Geno Stone. They outbid us for Zach Moss. Like, it's not that they're not paying guys, but they're staring down the barrel of a lot of big contracts.
Right. And the offense is going to look very different without Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
And unless you can flip him for some first this year.
Which is the rumor?
Wow, that was the rumor a couple weeks ago.
If that happens, both of the Vikings are negligent. But
everything the Vikings have been doing has been priming themselves to get a quarterback this year. It would not be to trade for T. Higgins.
Yeah, I think that they knew that the Kirk Cousins experience ran its course, and they knew they were going to have to eventually be like, yeah, let's be serious and get a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you have to bottom out. You have to do what you can to. I mean, it feels like the Vikings are going to bottom out.
And you just take it for a year,
Sam Darnold, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with Justin Jefferson, but you got to keep him happy somehow. I don't know how you're going to manage that with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you just take it. You take it on the chin for a year, and then you're done. You know,
yeah.
That's what Atlanta did. That's what Indy did with Matt Ryan. Wentz's deal. Atlanta did it with Matt Ryan. Denver's going to do it, except they are also stupid and traded all their draft picks. But I mean, like, this is what you do in the NFL. That's what Cleveland will do in a couple of years if they don't extend Watson. They'll take it on the chin. It'll be a year that it'll suck, and then they'll move on, and the cycle continues.
Yep. Or they do what Kansas City did and take a swing on a guy like when they get their first round pick back. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be nice to have for this to be the last year that we don't have, you know, picks.
Yeah,
not that I follow college football, but
I'll be happy to be kind of back in draft land next year. That'll be nice,
right?
But I think we're at a good point to close. But quickly, I wanted to I mentioned we were going to steal a bit. This week on the Civilized Barking podcast, they spent a lot of time talking about this being basically 2 years removed from the Deshaun Watson trade.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just wanted to get the general vibe from you guys about, you know, where you are with that whole thing now. We don't need to go into the how did you feel, but like, where are you at with it now?
I think where I'm at now is kind of where I was 2 years ago, in that we don't know what like what he is, and he hasn't played enough to where we have anything definitive. Like if it was one thing where he got suspended, he played the 6 games and then played mostly healthy, and then we had a general idea, I feel like I would feel differently. But since he's only played 12 games out of the available like 35, I think it's we just don't know. And I think for a fan base that has always been uneasy about the quarterback position since they came back in 99, it feels like the thing that they ultimately feared was that the suspension and all the noise would, I guess, ruin this guy. And ultimately, it's just kind of where, like, it's just kind of where we're at. It's just we're trying to see if we can squeeze something out of this because we feel like we've been waiting for 2 years on this and it keeps getting interrupted and we don't know. And that is frustrating. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think the lingering question is the worst part about it still. The worst football part about it. Not getting into anything else. The worst football part about it is that we still don't fully know. And obviously there's people that are going to write him off and say he's toast and this is worst trade ever, although I think the worst trade ever just ended up in Pittsburgh. So the fact that we are only 12 games in, 12? Is it 12 now?
Yeah,
12
yes. games that he's actually played 12 played. Games. Yes.
Yeah, we're 12 games in after 2 seasons, and we still have just about as many questions as we did at this time 2 years ago. Who is he going to be? Is he going to find it again? I think it would be nice to be able to, like, the only hope we have, the only hope I have, is that final game that he played, he looked like at very least a top half NFL quarterback again.
Right.
Which, if the defense is good, that's really all they need. The defense is good and Chubb comes back healthy and the receivers are productive. That's really all you need. You just need a guy that isn't going to lose you games and can help you win them from time to time.
And at least with his stats last year, they were winning games, like outside of the Colts game where he basically played like 3 possessions. They were like 3-1 or like they were winning games.
He was 4-1 if you don't count that Colts game.
Yeah, that's why I said 3-1.
That's a PJ win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get into QB wins as a stat that we measure, but you know, it's not been great vibes. Because, you know, the 2022, the 6 games, you knew those were going to be rusty and those were all going to be, you know, just get him used to game time and everything. 2023 being only, you know, a handful of games is what really, really sucks. And
yeah.
You know,
it was 3 games and then a long layoff and then 3 games and a done.
Right.
Yeah, you couldn't get in a proper rhythm to even knock off whatever true rust he had.
Right. We talk about, you know, we talk on the Guardian side of Brian Rocchio having 86 plate appearances, you know, in 2023 or throughout his career. And that's with these massive breaks in between. You just can't get into a rhythm with those kind of situations. And once he was finally getting that rhythm, the production was there. So, sure, you know, you can have hope that there's something there, but then you're reminded that the reason he was out after those good games was because he needed to have shoulder surgery. And
yeah.
What mm-hmm. is that going to look like, you know, going forward for him? Is that going to be a long-term injury? Is that going to be something that's going to affect him, you know, into the future? Because now you're looking at a 29-year-old quarterback that's had 12 games in 2 years and a shoulder surgery. That's the 6th highest paid quarterback in the league.
I mean, what's nice is that it's not like a muscular or a tendon surgery. It's a bone.
It's a bone. It's a capsule. It's whatever.
No one has gotten a straight answer on how does a quarterback respond to this? Because for the life of anyone, they can't find anyone else that it's ever happened to.
Brown. The statement we heard was he could keep playing, but if he gets hit there again, his shoulder just doesn't work. That's not just anything that's like, oh yeah, set the bone and you're fine.
Yeah, they basically said if he gets hit the wrong way, his shoulder just pops out because there's nothing holding it in place anymore. It's free swinging.
Yeah, when you deal with collarbone injuries or the shoulder, that's what you're potentially going to deal with. So yeah,
those aren't good things to hear. You know, that's where we're at. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's the vibes are decidedly awful. There's hope.
There's a reason why Browns fans on Twitter have been arguing about backup quarterback and its importance all offseason. Even if it sounds silly on its face, but like there's a reason why people were so attached to Flacco was because he gave them five good games considering the circumstances, even if people forget the context. Like that's why people were rallying around him and then very upset when Jameis Winston was signed. So like it's just, yeah, and because of that, like the conversation has devolved into, well, what if he gets to a slow start? Well, is Flacco not signing them trying to avoid the noise? But really, it's like the noise is going to happen anyway with whatever backup quarterback was going to be there. Like I remember when Deshaun was out for the Ravens game and people were excited just to see DTR. I remember to this day, this guy I overheard saying, guys, DTR is playing. I'm going to let you all know he's going to be the next Tom Brady. You watch. And then what happened was we saw him play and everybody turned on him because he just didn't play good. And that's just
how many beers deep was that guy?
I forget. I was outside of Barley House. So that will let you know how many beers he was in.
Yeah, I mean that game was doomed from the beginning. But anyway, yeah.
Moral of the story: fans are going to be fans, and just the backup quarterback is going to be the most popular person in town if the starting quarterback's not playing well. It's just they weren't going to avoid it either way with Flacco or with Jameis. It's going to happen if Deshaun doesn't play well or up to the standard of his contract.
Yeah. Yep. It was always going to, it's always going to be down to how he plays and just got to hope for better, I guess. That's where we're left.
Yep. Yay. Cheery.
Yay.
It's the Darius Smith line, guys. We did it. We brought back to Darius.
Sorry to end this on such a sour note. I hate
Jerry
to bring the
Judy
mood
is
down.
Here, everybody.
Brook Park Stadium.
Yay. Oh, yay. We're not
opening that wormhole. Let's not.
Oh, well.
Completely sure different team, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to change the nickname.
Brook Park Bombers, anybody?
Anyway. God. All right.
And on that note,
I gotta we got to go.
Yeah, we've lost the plot.
We've lost the plot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will be back in an indeterminate amount of time, probably. Right. I mean, what's next? Next on the docket is schedule release, probably in about a month, roughly.
Then the draft.
At the end of April, I think it is.
Is the schedule before the draft?
I believe so. Do I actually know? No.
Well, you know, the Browns are definitely not going to Rio, everybody.
Yeah, Mo. Mo Hurst, man.
Anyway.
Let's see. May 8th, 9th.
So that'll be after the draft.
Yeah, after the draft. Only by like a week or something.
Still.
Yeah. So we got draft first, which Lord knows we don't care much about right now. And then schedule game, second week of May. Might have to, considering that is a due date, we might have to push that one back. We don't know yet.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We got time.
Okay. Well, we had fun. It's nice talking Browns again.
Always. Always a good time.
Definitely a good time for sure.
You gotta get back on the horse with Cornercast here. I know you guys have been doing it.
Hopefully I'm involved in one of them.
I know I got a shout out. You can't make me hibernate, I won't allow it. For Matt and Gerbs, I am Taylor, and we'll be back at some point. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.